It should have been, could have been everything I needed and more. A little walk out the door, I didn't see it. For every guy like me who realized a little too late, she's every girl that got away.
You just heard a snippet of the brand new single, Every Girl That Got Away, by multi-platinum selling country group Emerson Drive here on Music's Journey. I am so excited to have Brad Mates here. With over 40,000 shows played, millions of miles traveled, countless awards and nominations from the Academy of Country Music, Country Music Association, CMT, Dove Awards, Grammy Awards, Juno Awards, Billboard, and the Canadian Country Music Association. Emerson Drive sets the stage with their 22nd year of releasing music and seeing what the next decade of Drive is going to bring. I am so excited to have Brad Mates here to tell us all about the new music and everything that Emerson Drive is up to and their tour dates. So welcome to the show, Brad Mates.
Hey, Kim, how are you?
Good. How about you?
Good.
Missed you so much this last 2.5 years. It's just been crazy. You guys have just, toured for the very first time, I think, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Oh, man. It must be great just to be able to get out and perform again.
It was a little nerve-wracking, to be honest with you. I booked off a day before just for rehearsals, right? Because we haven't obviously played together for the 2.5 years. And I was in the studio a few times with the guys, but no set list or running through songs. And so it was weird. Like, I'm so glad we did a rehearsal Thursday because we kind of knocked the rust off everything. And then it just felt good again, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know things have changed, you know, so much in the world right now. And just with everything that's gone on with COVID, you guys were doing 230 plus shows at that time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, be able to cut it back. Now, just taking that time off to be with family, to be with the people that you love the most. What's it been like for you taking that time off during COVID?
The first year was amazing. 2020 was, and you know, obviously I'm saying that outside of all the, you know, bad cases that there were obviously with COVID in 2020. But if you're talking about being off of the road in our industry, mm-hmm. For me personally, it was amazing. It was the first time in 22 years, 23 years where I didn't have to leave every single weekend to, you know, fly out and basically miss kids' sports and just family time during the summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was over the top. And I didn't miss playing one single bit. I thought for sure that I would kind of get the itch halfway through, but it just felt good not to do it for a summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, you know, everyone was kind of like, oh my God, I think we're going to get back at it. And then, you know, everything just came to a screaming halt again. I would say I was, you know, halfway through the summer, definitely kind of feeling that, you know, that itch to get back out on the road. And then this year, definitely, I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think for us personally, if we would have had to go another year, it just would have been, I don't know.
Been sad for everybody.
This for so long, not being able to go and do, you know, not to be able to do it after doing this so many years, it eats away at you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel horrible for some of the new acts, you know what I mean? Especially that had singles that were released in 2020 that, or 19 even, that never really had a chance to go out and tour their songs.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, you know, Emerson Drive's been around long enough where, you know, we were able to kind of weather, obviously, the 2 years. And I just kept thinking about all these newer acts that were out there just eager to you know, have people hear the music and visit radio and get their careers off the ground. And then just it all stopped. And then, obviously, the crew people that all of us have on the road to make everything, you know, work every day, right? Like, that
mm-hmm.
was the worst part, I think, was the bands and the crew guys that, like, that industry just, you still have people nowadays that aren't even coming back into the music industry because they found other professions to get into. So it just made things really challenging this year for logistics, like, you know, buses, crew guys, flights, I mean, you name it, everything is just jacked in prices and hard to find. So
it's so true about the pricing. Yeah, the pricing. I didn't even think about that end of it. And I know so many people are still nervous just booking things this year and making sure that, you know what, they're not going to put all that money out there, because half the time the flights just can't get your money back. And we've heard that an awful lot, you know, along the way. The newer artists, it's been tough too, because like you said, in 2020, they're just getting ready. They've spent all that money as independent artists to spend that time in the studio, and that costs a fortune. And getting ready to do the record tours and get the dates booked, all excited and everything, come to a halt. A lot of them didn't stay together. A lot of them didn't.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Been tough. Yeah. I know for us in the radio industry, so many of us lost our jobs along the way.
Right.
I still have one, you know, radio spot that I'm doing, but that's why I ended up doing it this way, because I'm not on the carpets anymore.
Right.
So I ended up doing the interviews this way, but I can get a lot more in. I can cover a lot more. So you adapt, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now you guys have been super busy mentoring so many artists that I've had on the show. You guys have been a part of, and they just look up to you guys so much. You guys have been doing this over 22 years now, right?
Yeah.
22 years plus years. When you're looking at the industry and how much music's changed over the years, you've been along this road and seeing the different styles, like the different mainstream country music going from traditional to mainstream. What has it been like for you to watch all this, and has it affected you in how you guys are approaching new music right now?
Well, I mean, I guess it's a great question, because I grew up listening to more of a traditional type, you know, sound, country sound from my dad, right? And so that was always an impact on, I guess, when we first started the band, what we wanted to play for cover songs, you know, what our sound was going to be like. But we definitely, as the group, were very, very progressive in the country format at the time, right? When we got signed in 2001, I mean, the sound that we had on radio was just different than a lot of other stuff that was out there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of where that, it's almost like a bit of a clash was happening, right? Where the struggle back and forth between what is allowable to be played on country radio is really starting to kind of bust wide open. You talk to a lot of, obviously, the artists that are in this business that have a progressive sound.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them obviously have like a a background that is very traditional, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think with obviously all the different influences that especially we went through, and it's because of the time frame that we went through before we had a deal, was, you know, playing bars and clubs 280 days a year. We had to play everything because club owners didn't want just country music. I mean, they wanted classic rock, they wanted new rock, they wanted everything, right? So all of a sudden you go from being a country band, right, that people come and see six or seven nights a week, to playing a bunch of different genres of music throughout the night just to keep people entertained. So I always felt like we kind of caught the tail end of the whole, you know, bar system and bar scene, where you could, you know, cut your teeth basically as a group on the road, learn how to live with one another, figure out your sound as a band. I mean, it was the best place to do it. And those days are just long gone. Like, you cannot do that anymore, meaning play bars and clubs six or seven nights a week. Those days are gone. So that was huge for us in the first, you know, 5-6 years, because from those bar days and going into a record deal, I remember DreamWorks, when we got signed, they were blown away that we were so self-contained. Like, we sign a record deal and we go record music and we play on the music, right? And then it's like, okay, well, we're gonna put you on the road, and we're like, finally we can go do our thing, right? So it was really cool because we were just kind of ready in a bunch of different areas where maybe other artists needed some time, right, to learn how to do it.
You were the full package.
I think, totally, And that kind of, I think, put us ahead of the curve a bit for those first few years, especially in the U.S. I mean, every single U.S. artist that we had met, too, you know, in those first handful of years, say 3 to 5 years, I mean, everyone knew that we were the hardest working band on the road. Like, nobody was doing as many dates as we were. Nobody was doing as many shows as we were. I mean, it was just, it was awesome because we were young. We were just full of energy and we wanted to do whatever we could to kind of, you know, bust the doors down as a Canadian, you know, group breaking into the U.S. market. So,
oh, yeah, which is huge. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's funny because I look back on some of the artists maybe that had an influence on helping us kind of get through the door. And I mean, you could look back, I guess, before us and you know, Paul Brandt, Carolyn Dawn, Shania, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, they, outside of Shania, I mean, everyone had a bit of a step in. And it definitely helped because I think there was this kind of cool wave of Canadians that were coming in during those 5 to 7 years. And we kind of were a part of the tail end of that, which was great because we were one of the, well, I guess we were one of the only bands to ever, you know, break the U.S. market with some top tens and a number one. And so that was amazing. Right. But it was all the hard work in the beginning that helped us definitely during those first few years of getting a deal and just, you know, we just kept on pushing.
I know Michelle Wright talked about it when she was on the show just in the fall there. And she just said that, you know, Nashville wouldn't even touch her. They kept saying that she was just too country, way too country for country. And they wanted her to be out on the road, like you're talking about, and playing all those small venues for at least 6 years before they even look at her. Because they wanted somebody seasoned. They wanted somebody who was hungry. And playing all those small venues, and it didn't matter whether it was a packed house one night and, you know, 10 people the next. You still had to, you had to learn. And you guys put on such an incredible live show. You always have. That has been, you know, just, you can cut a record in a studio all you want. It could be the best record, like the best track. And it's just going to come and go. If you can't produce and deliver those lyrics and that show, you lose fans. They're not going to stick around. And
yeah, that's right.
You guys were huge. And that's why we all remember every single time we're heading into Summer Festival, where's Emerson Drive going to be? And that's that's just so much fun for all of us because we've grown up with a lot of this. I know I have. I followed you guys pretty much most of your career. And it's just so nice to see because you're one of the originals as well that started out in this band. Can you remember what it was like when you guys, I guess, how many years ago was it now? I have to stop and think about it. For the best country performance group and duo for the Grammys, when you're up for that nomination, what that felt like for you guys, breaking down those barriers like that?
Yeah, the nominations and the awards obviously are one thing, right? I think that, I mean, the Grammy was kind of that next level for sure, being nominated for that. Chasing after, you know, top 10 songs, I mean, was always, a goal. Not to go off track here a little bit, but the one thing I always remember telling the guys back when we were in the early 2000s, because we got nominated a lot. We didn't win a whole bunch of times. We were nominated a lot, right? But the one thing that was different from the band than everybody else at the time was every time we left the CCMAs on Sunday or Monday nights, back when it was Monday nights, we'd get on a tour bus and the bus would go south and we would play 200 dates for the rest of...
Crazy.
Or, you know, 75 to 100 dates for the rest of the year. At that point. And I just remember telling the guys all the time, like, we are so fortunate to be able to, like, go and you know, have a career in obviously at home and in the U.S. and do all these shows and make fans and you know, make a living. I said, there's so many of our fellow musicians that leave the award shows and have to go home for a while before the next date comes. I said, you can look at our schedule and then you get tired of counting the dates back then. Right. So to me, that was always like the silver lining in the whole idea of like being nominated or winning awards was we were always able to go out and play shows because fans still wanted to see us play nominated or not, winning an award or not. Right. So, that was always you know, the biggest thing for me was making sure that our fan base was strong, because if you have a strong fan base, you're still going to be able to go out and tour whenever you want. Luckily enough, I mean, obviously we had won a few things throughout the years. Some of the, you know, the number one, the Grammy nod, all that stuff, incredible for sure, right? But at the end of the day, longevity, in my opinion, is just, it far surpasses any of that stuff. I love talking about the idea that Emerson Drive will be coming up, you know, not music on radio, but as a band, will be coming up on 25 years here right away.
I know, so it's like...
That to me just...
That's amazing.
I get happy about that, right?
I guess.
I just feel like that's a huge accomplishment.
So. Well, that I think is when you're stripping it all back and you're taking a look at it, to just being able to hold on to fans, that length of time with all of the other artists that have come through the doors, and with technology and social media and all that, that keeps, you know, keeps coming through and opening up, so fans get a much larger pool of artists to be able to look at. You guys have always been the staple of country music here in Canada. And you guys did the same thing over in the States. Like when you're looking at when you guys came up, Rascal Flatts, it was like the boys bands, you know, when you guys first hit.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was a big pull too. That's what they were looking for at the time. When you look at what success looked like when you guys first started out, what you thought of it personally in comparison to what you see it as today, is that what you're talking about? The 25 years?
I'd say, absolutely. I didn't want to be, because I think we learned really quickly, like once we got signed, that there's a lot of acts in the first, you know, 2 to 3 years that just come and go really fast, right? Mm-hmm. Singles don't work. Label says, okay, one more chance, throw another single, doesn't work. That artist is gone forever. And we knew that we had something unique and special in the first few years. We knew that we wanted, obviously, to keep it going as long as we could. I mean, could I tell you when I was 16, 17, we started the band, that it would, you know, last this long? No, I absolutely not. But I think that after we were in the business for, you know, I'd say 5 years, we knew that if we were dedicated to working on music that was going to continue to work for our fan base, that there was a really good chance we could, you know, continue to do this for a long time. And, you know, fast forward, here we are. I'm a realist. I know for a fact that, you know, Emerson Drive is not going to be, you know, played on the radio with new singles for the next 20 years, most likely. The chances are slim, right? Could we do it? Maybe. But at the end of the day, like, the run that we've had so far has been really, really amazing. I love the fact that we're probably in a better place now, headspace-wise, meaning having more fun now than we ever had. I think it's just because of the fact that we know we're, you know, kind of a, just, we're a group that that made it through the ups and downs. The longevity is there now, and now we get a chance to really, really soak it in and enjoy it over these next, you know, these next few years, because you just never know when it's going to just, you know, end or really slow down, right?
So I think that's the key.
Whole concept.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is playing because
you love it.
That's
the whole concept in slowing down our dates, right? Because we got to that point probably 6 years ago where it was like, okay, we got to be smart about, you know, the next 10 years. We can't go out and do as many dates as we possibly can, because that'll hinder the next year for touring. So we really kind of got selective in making sure we didn't overplay, you know, the country, and just kind of focused on the stuff that was going to, you know, be good for the band, for the fan base, and continue to try and, you know, just grow that, and pick those dates up for the last, you know, several years now. So it's worked out well.
So smart. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with my very special guest, Brad Mates, the lead singer for multi-platinum selling country band Emerson Drive, here on Music's Journey. We are back. I'm your host, Kim Sear, and I am chatting with my very special guest, Brad Mates, for the country band Emerson Drive. So smart when you look at how you guys have just approached your careers. And that's the reason why you guys have been so successful. And, you know, that's something that I hope a lot of the younger artists pay attention to, because all they focus on is the next record to hit radio. And That's the focus, and it can't be. And you just hit the nail, you know, right on the head there. It's just, it's perfect when you remember what you're playing for. When you enjoy the music, mm-hmm. you feel it. The fans feel it. It comes out. And, you know, everything that you produce and put out there to the world to hear, people know it. You're not just sitting there throwing anything together. It's quality instead of quantity. Right. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Very cool. Talk about what all of you guys have been doing, because I know you guys have been super busy, you know, over this time too, with all the writing and producing individually as well as together. Talk about that.
I think it's, you know, it's given everyone an opportunity to really kind of dig into probably, you know, next chapter, right, of not just Emerson Drive, but just individual stuff as well, too. We're the type of guys that have learned enough in the last 20 years. There's opportunity in this music business to continue to be in the music business, maybe not on stage, you know, as much as we had been in the past, but still doing stuff that we love because of music.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought a studio 5 years ago and gutted the whole thing. It was a yoga studio and basically rebuilt everything out. So the last 5-6 years have been amazing when it comes to being able to produce music, create music. There's no time frame on it. There's no one telling us that you got 8 hours to get this done. There's no budget because it's our budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that alone has been super helpful in just being creative and again, just not being under a time restraint. You know, Danik is producing a lot of other acts out of there right now that have done well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, across Canada, right? So it's really cool to see him, you know, find that that spot where he has been working so hard at over the last, not even the last 5 years. I mean, he has been head deep into the whole, you know, technology side, producing side of stuff for a lot of years. Like, he was always there. Even when we were in our 20s, he was the last guy in the studio because he wanted to learn how it was done, right? So
nice.
It's awesome to see that happen. And, I don't know. I think that this business, because we've been in it for so long, is just, it's what we know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when you know something, you stick with it.
Well,
no one's trying to recreate anything that's going to be the big flashy new thing, but you kind of know your place, right? And if you can stay within those guidelines, you can do well at this. Like, there's no question. The performing part is one side of it, but I would love to see what, you know, all of us look like in 20 years from now if we're all still dabbling in the music industry one way or another, right?
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Well, with social media and technology, and you're looking at the experience that you guys have offering that mentorship and being able to write and work with these younger artists, and you're seeing that with so many of the veterans on mm-hmm. you know, on the board, every single person has been working with someone in the emerging artists and establishing themselves, you know, in that place that we can really push these artists forward, because in the landscape of music right now, man, you could record something today and have it streaming live stream tomorrow. It's like so different than it used to be.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I love the fact too, and I know you know this, like, The music that's coming out of Canada right now that other people around the world are hearing, I think, is just phenomenal, right?
So love it.
You kind of have that, you have that trend, like, every handful of years, it's almost like a new crop of people that come in, and it's like, yes, like, everyone still has it, which is great. And when it happens, it's great to know that, you know, it's coming from a place that you did many years before, right? So That's awesome as an artist that's been doing it for, you know, all these years, is just seeing the younger talent that's up and coming. It's great, because we were that young and up and coming, you know, band at one time that was just biting at the heels of everybody else. And I love the fact now that we can look and see a lot of these younger acts that are just, you know, thirsty and just want to get out there and do it, right? It's great.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. And with the streaming platforms and all the countries right now, like Australia and the UK have so many Canadians that are on the charts right now. And that's incredible. You know, they never would have heard that music before. if it wasn't for the technology that we have. Right. And then they're working together. Yeah. So we've got a lot of the UK artists that are coming over and Australian artists that are coming over into Canada. And, you know, they're doing duets and, you know, they've got management companies here. And it's just this whole new world of artists. I know it's tough when there's only so many slots on country radio and or any, you know, it doesn't matter what genre, but that's a competition for sure. But when you're looking at the writing and the knowledge base and the different sounds, just the different things that you can learn, that, you know, music's exciting right now.
Yeah, it is.
Really, really exciting. Same thing with, you know, with COVID too. I think a lot of people have had to dig deep and really learn their identity outside of their careers and what they thought they would be doing every day, because, you know, let's face it, we've never thought we'd ever face something like this in our generation. And we're seeing so many people that have just really incredible songs that we're going to be hearing in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I agree.
Really cool.
I agree. I think there's lots of good stuff that came, you know, from just maybe deeper inside, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's more that was exposed. And when it comes to songwriting, when you expose more of who you are and what you're feeling, you're getting some pretty incredible, you know, material out of that. So I agree with you.
Yeah, you're going to hear, you know, fans resonate with it because they're going through the same thing. And it's nice when you guys can use your platform, you know, to be able to connect with fans like that. And that's what stays, you know, a lifetime for generations, you know, people that are hearing those songs that stick around forever. Let's talk about Footprints on the Moon. Tell us about that song and the writing of that song.
That was interesting, right? Just because of the fact that it was sent out, obviously, on a social platform. I think it actually caught the attention of the people, just because that was the first time that we had put an acoustic vibe to it, all in different places, right? I think I was in my house, obviously, and Danik was in the studio, and Dale was at his place playing his piano, and we all, you know, smashed everything together. So, you know, so it looked good and sounded good. It's just, last weekend, there was a handful of people that were asking if Footprints was going to be in the set list. And it's one of those songs where it never, you know, went high up on the chart. But again, back to the point of streaming and all these different avenues to take music to now, it actually connected with a lot more people than I thought it did originally, right?
So
that was really cool. Yeah. Anyway, that's the thing that still blows my mind about this whole platform now is just where we were when we came into the industry to where it is now is just so night and day. I used to talk about, like, our fans in 2001 that would come up to us after shows and they'd have a blank CD, like just blank CD. And I remember the first year we were like, what are we doing? And what is this? And they're like, oh, this is your music. We ripped it off of LimeWire. And I'm just like, what?
I forgot about that.
That was the start of things that were really changing, you know, in a big way. And I don't know. Nowadays, it's just hilarious to think that you can throw music out there whenever you want, even if it doesn't hit a chart, right? Our BDS system, I mean, it can still hit a lot of people and make a difference. So,
well, especially with the streaming platforms and sharing their playlists. And, you know, people are just tapping into playlists like crazy right now from all over the world. I can't believe how many listeners we have on this show. And it just blows my mind every time I'm looking at it and seeing where they're all from. And most of the requests we get are from overseas.
Yeah.
And that's why Footprints came on topic today, because that song they love. Absolutely love it. See, there you go. I think it was like 225 just last night asking for that song.
Is that right? Huh?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I tell you.
That's so cool.
Such a cool, cool song, and the fans really loved it. So we're going to play it for them right now. Here is Footprints on the Moon by Grammy-nominated platinum-selling country band Emerson Drive here on Music's Journey.
I could make the world sing along. I could move a mountain with a song.
If I could light a spark with my heart, oh, imagine the fire it could start. Every day I breathe, every night I dream, I still haven't seen all the possibilities. Hey! Don't tell me the sky's the limit when there's footprints on the moon.
When there's footprints on the moon.
Don't tell me the sky's the limit when there's footprints on the moon.
When there's footprints on the moon.
Hey! I shouted from a rooftop everywhere, or keep it to myself just like a prayer. I'm gonna throw a line up to the stars. There's nothing I can reach, nowhere too far. Every day I breathe, every night I dream, I still haven't seen all the possibilities.
Hey!
Don't tell me the sky's the limit when there's footprints on the moon.
When there's footprints on the moon.
Don't tell me the sky's the limit when there's footprints on the moon.
When there's footprints on the moon.
Was the anthem single Footprints on the Moon by country band Emerson Drive. Don't forget, you guys can download the song and you also can add it to your streaming platforms, and you can also request it at your local radio station as well. It is such a cool one. Talk about doing the video for Footprints on the Moon.
Yeah, it was, my kids played a pretty big role in that on my end of things, right? My daughter loved the song right from day one, and when they found out that we were going to be putting together a little video with you know, each guy in a different place, and they're like, "Is there any way we could be in it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely." So it was great because my kids are old enough now. My son's 12, my daughter's 9, and they're old enough now, especially in the last 2 years, where they're both really into music. And
nice.
I love the fact that my daughter can sometimes, you know, pick songs that she likes for a certain reason that maybe someone else wouldn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought that if a song seems to have something that stays inside of a younger kid's mind and they like the song for whatever reason, if it's the melody, if it's the lyrics, that might be a good indication that it could be a good single for radio, right?
I know
it sounds
true
silly,
when you think about
you
it
what, like,
it's so
yeah
true.
There's something to it. So the fact that you know, you get to hear from the kids now of the stuff that they like,
mm-hmm.
I think it's awesome, right? Because it gives you just a different perspective on what is it that they like about the music, or this, you know, again, if it's the instrumentation, if it's the vocal, if it's the lyrics, whatever it is. I love the fact that everyone has a different concept of why they like it and for what reason. So
that's really cool, because they've got such heavy turnover when it comes to the influences for them with their friends and everything that they're listening to and being on technology as much as they are. That's a really good way to think about it. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, there's stuff now that my daughter knows that I have no clue, and it's like on the top 10, like pop chart. And I'm just like, oh my God, I feel like I'm getting old, right? It's just too funny.
I'm right there with you. I try to keep up, but I'm still not doing TikTok because I got no time. There's just no time to do it. I know everybody keeps saying, when are you going to start doing it? When? I'm usually, everybody sees the labels. You know, I know so many of the managers and the labels, and they're all sitting there going, Kim's still on at 3 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing? Go to bed. I'm going, well, what are you doing? So I can't help it. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with my very special guest, Brad Mates, the lead singer for multi-platinum selling country band Emerson Drive, here on Music's Journey. We are back. I'm your host, Kim Sear, and I am chatting with my very special guest, Brad Mates, for the country band Emerson Drive. I love it, being able to bring all this different music and the stories and the lyrics and, you know, just getting to know you guys better, because every single time we would do the radio tours with all of you, it's like 10 minutes. You're in, out, when's the song, when are you going to be playing it, what festival are you going to be at, where can people hear, you know, or see a video, and that's it. We weren't allowed to do anything else. So I kind of love doing this end of it. It's a lot of fun.
I couldn't agree more. We've done a few of these this year already, and I just, it's nice to, I guess, you know, from my end of things, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much content in 23 years.
I know.
It's like, where do you start and how do you push it all out? Because, you know, there's just a lot of great little stories that the band has internally, right, that a lot of people have never heard. So these are awesome. I love this concept and this platform, being able to just dig in a little bit deeper. I think it's always been, you know, my favorite part of this, you know, this whole interview process. Because you're right, the surface stuff is surface stuff. Don't get me wrong, there's a place and a time for it. But when you can dig in a bit deeper, I think it just means that much more to fans as well.
I think so. And it just allows them to know some of the, you know, just the journey. You know, the whole journey that you guys have been on. And I just didn't know how much time we were going to have today. So I could have dug into a lot of stuff. I mean, really, really good. Let's talk about your brand new single that you got out right now. Love the song, by the way. Absolutely so cool.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we're pretty excited as well, too. And just, you know, playing it live, just to bring that up, because we were just out the other weekend. I mean, it's always been one of our favorite parts of new music, is playing it live, right? So just to get a gauge off of fans and
your daughter,
you know, a new song kind of goes over. Yeah, exactly, right? If she says it's a good song, then it's in the set list, yeah. But again, like, it's nothing, we're not trying to reinvent everything. It's obviously got an Emerson Drive sound to it. It's a little bit, you know, a little bit different sound-wise than we've done in the past, but still has that a lot of the Emerson Drive, you know, substance to it that you know, that people are going to recognize and be familiar with, right? So, and you know, when you think about it, I mean, it's the first, you know, piece of music, I guess, that's going out to radio in a little while here.
Well, since 2019 or something like that.
I mean, that side of it is exciting again to know that, you know, maybe there's new fans that we're going to be able to see this summer because of new music. The best part of this industry is when you're able to continue to release music through the years, you're potentially still bringing on new people to the fan base. And I love that. So.
Mm-hmm. And getting to hear just the stories that come behind, you know, a song like this one, so many people are going to be able to attach stories to this one. Everybody can relate to it.
Yeah.
Everybody can relate to it. Doesn't matter what age group, you definitely know the feeling of this one, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So tell us about who wrote it.
This was an outside song. You know, over the years, we've always been very open-minded to outside music. The writing process internally has always been super important. But I think probably Teddy Gentry when he was a bass player for Alabama. He produced Countryfied, one of the records we did quite a few years ago now. But he and the guys in Alabama were always open to the idea of looking for music. And still, you know, to that day when he was working with us, the amount of outside material that we would sit through and just listen to, you know, trying to find that diamond in the rough, was just amazing. Early on in our career as well, I mean, we had incredible opportunities to write with some of the best writers, you know, in Nashville through the course of, you know, quite a few years. But it was still an incredible process of trying to look for music too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I Should Be Sleeping was an outside song, wasn't written within, and it basically got our career off the ground and going. So stuff like that, we've always been super open-minded to, you know, finding the best songs, and the best songs usually, you know, win, right? I think having material that's done within the group is super important. We've always tried to find a balance that way. But again, the amount of incredible songs that get written every single day, and lots of them that just kind of get put on a shelf until somebody finds them, it's crazy when you start digging into that world, right? Moments was a great example. That song sat on a shelf almost 6 years, right? It was done, like sitting there 6 years, everybody passed on it. And no one thought that it was a hit until, you know, Danik and I sat and listened to it. And we both looked at each other after the first chorus and said, why is this song not cut, right? And, you know, and it was a number one. So I think it takes the right artist, obviously, sometimes to take a song to where it needs to be. Yep. Not everybody can cut the same song and make it a hit, right? That's just a great example of, again, music that's sitting on shelves that just never gets a chance to see, you know, the light of day, any radio play. So it's out there.
True.
It's interesting, that whole side of it.
Yeah, it's so true, because you have to just be able to connect with the lyrics. Doesn't matter whether or not you write it or don't write it. And so many artists have them pitched. And it's just, that's the record industry, right? Like, that's the music industry. So it is so cool. And I love the song. And we, as I said, we've been playing little bits of snippets here and there, and the fans absolutely love it. So we're going to play this one right now, the brand new single that's out right now. And it is Every Girl That Got Away. And that is by the multi-platinum selling country band Emerson Drive here on Music's Journey.
That truck I should have cranked, that call I should have made, that picture in the dresser I can't seem to throw away, that song I gotta skip, that street I gotta miss, that one goodbye I wish I didn't let roll off my lips. Yeah, she's that should have been, could have been everything I needed and more, a little walk out the door I didn't see.
That was the amazing new track, the new single, Every Girl That Got Away. This is going to be a really cool one to hear playing live too. So that is by multi-platinum selling country band Emerson Drive. What a great day for these guys to be putting out some new music just in time for the summer festivals. We love them live. Don't forget you can download the new single on all your streaming platforms and you can add it to your playlist. And you also can request it at your local country radio station. Such a great song. Such a great song. Tell us about the music video that works for this. Are you, do you have something in the works for it?
Nothing right now. We'll see how, you know, it's just interesting how full albums have gone to EPs and now to a lot of singles just getting pushed out, right? So, it just, again, just the change that's happened over the last couple decades from music videos that had to be made with singles. I mean, we were part of that whole thing for a lot of years. And nowadays, you're not seeing obviously as much anymore, but you know, there's a time and a place for it for sure. I think the content piece to where we're at right now, which is being able to push stuff out to, you know, fans on all the socials is, just as powerful, if not more maybe than, you know, just a single channel that plays music videos. Right.
So I totally agree.
It's different. I mean, yeah, there, I think, you know, back in the day when there was obviously big budgets for doing videos and stuff like that, I mean, it was just a bigger part of your career. Nowadays for us where we're at, I mean, I think if there's a need for it and it makes sense, then you definitely look at it. But a lot of times I think that you're seeing more, you know, just extra content, you know, along with the single versus just a, you know, the song and the video type thing.
Yeah, the fans absolutely love just seeing just you guys in the recording studio, just little snippets of you guys getting and preparing and just, you know, yeah, it's just the journey.
Yeah.
Now, do you have new music coming on top of this one?
So we have, I don't know, we probably have 6 songs that are done.
Nice.
We'll see how things go here over the next little while, right? So we're ready to go, obviously, for music as we continue on here over the next, you know, year and a half.
You should see the big smile on my face.
Well, it's a, you know how it is. It's a chess game, right? I mean, you got to see who's releasing what at certain times and then just kind of get it out there and see how it goes. So, I mean, crossing your fingers half the time, right, to make sure it gets up the chart. But there is a bit of a plan, I guess, to different songs that we have in the can that, you know, are ready to go. And, yeah, we'll just see how Every Girl, you know, if the legs that it can get and see where it goes. And then, pick, you know, from the other 5, 6 that we have and go from there.
Are you playing any of the 5 or 6 in your live performances right now?
There'll be 2 in this set going forward for, and we're only doing 9 dates this summer, but there'll be 2 songs, Every Girl's in there, and then 1 other one that I think we'll throw in here this weekend or the weekend after. So, yeah, I've always enjoyed, you know, I said this before, but I've always enjoyed playing stuff that no one's ever heard before. Throwing, you know, one of them in every once in a while just to kind of gauge, you know, the crowd. It's always been a huge indicator.
Let you know exactly how it's going to come across for the fans. So I love it.
Totally.
And I'm so happy you guys are back out playing and you're touring right now. So you're out for a few, like you said. What performances can you tell us about right now that you got coming up?
Let's see. We're in Regina, just outside of Regina this coming weekend. And after that, we are going to be up in my hometown, neck of the woods, just outside of Grand Prairie for a rodeo in Teat Creek.
Nice.
Fort St. John, BC, that same weekend.
Well, they're going to be awfully happy out in the East Coast because those are the ones that we've just been hearing from right, left, and center. So, yes.
Oh, yeah. No, we're pretty excited as well, too. We haven't obviously been out east for quite a while. So, the Nova Scotia date is going to be a blast. It's on the 30th of July. And then another Alberta date on the 18th of August and a BC date and an Alberta date in September. So,
lots of good stuff. Really, really
cool.
I cannot wait to be able to see you guys play live again and shoot from the pit like I always do. And maybe we'll get a chance to be able to do an interview live, you know, for a change, because it's been a while for me too. I've been doing everything this way for the last 2.5 years. So
for
it would really be cool to be able to see. Are you going to be out in Calgary at all?
Yeah, we will be actually during CCMA week. We're going to be doing a date out there. So
I might see you there. That would be awesome. That would be really cool. Be able to catch up with you guys. Promise me you're going to come back and I will dig deeper into your career. I can guarantee it.
Sounds good.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, Brad. It's always such a pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
And we cannot wait to see you guys live.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on the new single. Absolutely killer. And I can't wait for the new stuff. Can't wait. All right. You take care. Have a great night.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay,
talk to you.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, Brad Mates, for coming on the show from Emerson Drive. We never, ever, ever get tired of seeing these guys play live. They are so cool, and you're going to love the new single. So don't forget to download that one, share it on your playlist, and ask for it at your local country radio station. I have some great shows coming up for you for the month of June and July, and I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg on this one. We got Katie Hurt from the UK. We got Katie Topham, Rob Fitzgerald, High Valley, Rock Band, Taming Sari, Matt Rogers, Josh Bogart, Petrick, Kelly Prescott, Quinton Blair, Australian country artist Haley Jensen. We've got Australian trio The Buckleys, Cadence from Runaway Angel, The Prairie State, Gil Brand, Ali Walker, Emma Peterson, Simone Fuller, Tyler Joe Miller, who is killing it with so many awards right now. We've got Nice Horse, we've got Mariah Stokes, we have Nicole Ray, Jason Benoit, Craig Moritz, as well as so many more. And I'm telling you, it's just the tip of the iceberg. So I told you, we got some great shows coming up for you. Don't forget, you can catch all my shows that you don't want to miss on musicsjourney.com. You also can check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I'm going to catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
If you wonder why I walk this way, why I talk this way, why I never trade my truck back in, why I cover up my barn with tin, why I get my coffee where I get my tractor parts, know what to do when the truck won't start, dog in the back, tip of a hat, no it ain't an act, I come from country people, yeah. No need to hate me, I'm a direct descendant of some Dust Bowl babies. Little salt of the earth mixed with sunshine and diesel, yeah. Thank God I came from country people. We're boots in the dirt, we're dots on a map, we're denim blue, tried and true, damn good country people. Heaven is a piece of land, a shake of a hand is really all you need to get something bought when you pay cash like your daddy taught. Why a good time is a good girl on a slow drive and moonshine beer in a can. I'm a simple man, I am the way.